Good morning, beloved, from the King of Glory. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord says this is the day He has made. When you really begin to grasp that and study it, it's speaking of a very specific day. He calls it today, but He's not talking about just, hey, enjoy this day because God made this day. You know, He made every day. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about a specific day. He's talking about the fact that He finished the work from the foundation of the world. And today speaks of entering into His rest. Hebrews chapter 4. When the Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made, it's talking about that finished work of God. Today we are delivered. Today we are healed. Today we are set free. The only thing between us and the manifestation of what He has accomplished is our own belief. And we can't stir that up. We can't conjure that up. We can't act like we've got it. Only in time can the Holy Spirit really reveal to us the truth. Believing in God is not just believing in God. Almost everybody believes in God. Believing in God is believing in the truth as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And the truth is all found in the cross. But it's so deep and wonderful and powerful. It's treasures beyond measure that for your entire life you could dig and you still won't see it all. Praise God. The beauty of the cross and what He actually did. Now that's wonderful, but it's not good for the flesh and it doesn't feel good and it's not a promise that God's going to make you happy. Amen. It's a promise that God's going to make you eternally happy. Hallelujah. It's a promise that there is a seat for you that God created for you from the foundation of the world. And our light and momentary pain and trouble in this world is qualifying us for an eternal glory that cannot be compared to the pain we suffer now. Oh my goodness. Beloved, today I wanted to come to you and talk to you. I don't think I've ever shared this like this specifically. The Holy Spirit was just really speaking to me this morning about an aspect of the new covenant. I've talked about it kind of on the side, like a side dish. But I'm beginning to really understand that one of the main aspects of the new covenant that differentiates it from the old covenant is that the new covenant is for the weak. Oh goodness, I want you to get this. I want you to get this in Jesus' name, especially if you're a weak one, especially if you're one that just can't do it. Oh my goodness, this message is for you. What makes the new covenant different from the old? There are so many aspects. I've been talking about that since about 2014, nonstop. But there are so many aspects that are different in the new covenant. And before we hit this weakness thing, Jesus said when they were questioning Him why His disciples didn't do what the old covenant disciples did, and Jesus says you can't take new wine and add it to an old wineskin. You can't take a new patch of cloth and sew it onto an old garment. What He was trying to say is you cannot mix the two covenants. Otherwise, it won't work. The body of Christ will never see the fullness of what Jesus accomplished until we stop mixing the covenants. The old covenant's wonderful, it's good, it's beautiful, but it's not the covenant we are under and in. The covenant we are under and in is not he who does these things will be blessed. That's not our covenant. Our covenant is in His blood. We had to die because none of us could do those things to be blessed. Praise God. The only life that is good and righteous is the life of Jesus. Apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. But one of the aspects, I've talked about this many times on the side, but never really focused on it as a whole aspect of the new covenant. The new covenant is not for the strong. The old covenant is. Let me make this plain. Holy Ghost, help me today. The old covenant came to a people who wanted to live. And the old covenant said, if you will do this, then you will live. If you will be strong, if you will do what God says to do, if you will be obedient, if you will be disciplined, if you will be zealous, then you will be blessed. That old covenant's not for the weak. As a matter of fact, the weak, it caused them to despair, even of life. The weak, the ones who couldn't do it, the ones who knew they couldn't do it, the ones who failed miserably to do what God said to do, and they suffered as a result. They were in despair. And when Jesus comes, now watch who He is now. Let's stop right here for a second. Think about this. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life that man was created for and in the beginning. He is the only life that God accepts. He's the only life that's righteous. And when the life, as 1 John said, the eternal life that was with the Father, when it came down out of heaven, who did it come to? It came to those who were in despair. It came to those who the old covenant broke. And it's amazing because the life said, I didn't come for the righteous. Now, who did He say that to? He said it to the scribes and the Pharisees while they were murmuring because He was eating with publicans and tax collectors. They began to murmur that He fellowshipped, He associated with sinners. And Jesus tells them, I didn't come for the righteous. Now, this is the life speaking, don't forget. The life says, I didn't come for the righteous. Now, hold on here. Who was righteous? Was He actually telling the Pharisee and the scribe that He wasn't here for them because they were righteous? I mean, let's keep reading, praise the Lord. We find out that there are none who are righteous. So do you know who Jesus came for? He came for everybody. But He really came only for those who know that they are not righteous, those who the law has broken, those who are poor. Why? Because they weren't obedient. If you're obedient, friend, this is a fact. If you read the Old Covenant, God never lies. If you are fully obedient, God will make you rich. That's an absolute promise of the Old Covenant. If you are fully obedient, God will make you the head, the lender, and not the borrower. God will make you the head and not the tail. If you are fully obedient, there's only one who ever was, and God did make him the head and not the tail. God made him the lender and not the borrower. He's seated at the right hand. But there are still those who are strong, still those who are zealous, still those who are passionate to do what God says to do. And they are still proclaiming and believing for God to make them the head and make them the lender and make them the... But they don't understand. Jesus did not come for the one who is strong, for the one who accomplished it, for the one who thinks that they can do it. Jesus came for the one who the law broke, the one who found out that they couldn't do it, the one who found out that they weren't good and that they weren't righteous. This is who Jesus came for. It's such an amazing difference. The Old Covenant, friend, here it is in a nutshell. The Old Covenant is for the strong. The New Covenant is for the weak. And whichever camp you find yourself in, that will be the covenant you find yourself going after. And
And you will find yourself at different times in different camps. Every human being will. You will find yourself, Adam will find himself feeling strong, will find himself doing well. And when that's happening, Adam feels like, if I just do what God says to do, he's going to bless me. Adam starts feeling really good about his life. But then you're going to find yourself at times where you fail, at times when you're weak, at times when you just want to give up. And it's those times when Jesus is revealed to you. Now, this is what Paul found out, because Paul was as strong as they come when he was Saul of Tarsus. He was an old covenant person. He was strong. He was zealous. He was passionate. He was obedient. He was doing what God said to do. But he found something out, and God allowed a principality to be assigned to him, a satanic angel. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says there was a thorn in his flesh. It was an angel of Satan. It was a satanic, a principality, different than a demon. But it was a principality, a big dog in the kingdom of darkness, was assigned to buffet him. If you look up that buffet, it means to hit over and over. It's like torture. It's like hitting him. Just keep hitting him over and over and over and over to torture him, to harass him at every turn, that every moment of his day, this enemy was attacking him. Maybe not every moment of the day had the spirit, but all the time is what it refers to. All the time. All the time something was happening. Something was coming against him. Something was causing him to lose his strength, to lose his vigor, to lose his vitality. And he begged God to deliver him from it. And God revealed something to this man that he had never understood before. He said, no, I'm not going to deliver you from that. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, Jesus didn't come for the ones who accomplish it. Jesus didn't come for the zealous. He didn't come for the strong. Jesus came for the sick and the broken and the weak. And you'll see it all through the Gospels. Even when John doubted him, John was strong. John was the strongest of all the old covenant people. He was the most zealous. Man, the guy didn't even eat anything that tasted good. He wouldn't even wear decent clothes. He wore camel's hair, lived in the desert, he wasn't preaching the gospel. He didn't know the gospel. He was preaching the kingdom of God, and repent and stop sinning for God. Amen. So you can have the reward. But John was the best of the old covenant. But Jesus said the least in the new. Praise God. But Jesus came for the sick. And John was like, what in the world's going on? He's in prison. He said, go ask him. Is he the one that's supposed to come, or should we look for another? What a thing for John to ask. John the Baptist, he's the one that saw the Holy Ghost descend on Jesus like a dove. He's the one that proclaimed, this is the Messiah. This is the one. And later on, the same John is sitting in prison, and actually he contemplated so much when he saw and heard what Jesus was doing. He doubted that he was actually the Messiah. He began to doubt his own proclamation, all of his visions, everything. Amazing how much he doubted. And he doubted so much that he actually sent a delegation to Jesus to ask him if he was really the one. He was so struggling. Are you really the one? And Jesus says, go back and tell him, the lame are healed, the blind see. And here's something interesting. And the gospel is preached to the poor. Why? What is it? Does Jesus like poor people more than rich people? It seems like it if you read the gospels. But it's not that he cares about a poor person more than a rich person. It's that a poor person needs life. A poor person needs help. A poor person needs a physician. A sick person needs a healer. The rich man doesn't. The rich man's got it going on. And that's why Jesus said it's harder for him to enter the kingdom than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Why? Because you can't get into the kingdom strong. You can't get into the kingdom zealous. You can only get into the kingdom broken. You can only get into the kingdom weak. Now, this is not a message that my natural man likes, because this is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing that If you experience some weakness today, then for now on, you get to have God's power. No, it's a daily thing. It's a daily dying. It's a daily brokenness that we experience. If you go through a season where you don't feel weak, then you'll stop really hearing and looking deeply into the cross and depending on the life of Jesus 100%. And then you go back into that weakness and that brokenness, and it's a difficult life, really. But the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Jesus suffered for us, leaving us an example that we might follow in his steps. Not just the cross, he suffered with rejection. He suffered rejection from the religious people, from his own people. He was ostracized and persecuted and rejected and doubted and questioned all the time. And this is part of it. It's part of it. Praise God. Who will come outside the camp with me, Jesus says. But the more that we understand the difference of the two covenants, the more we can see that the last covenant, the new covenant, in his blood, is not for the zealous or the strong or the obedient or the one who accomplished it. It's for the one who didn't. It's for the one who failed. Now, he says here that when they question him about eating with publicans and tax collectors, he says, I didn't come for the well or the righteous. I came for the sick, to call them to repentance. I'll end with this today. It's very important. To call them to repentance. Now, he's not saying he wants to leave them sick. He wants to leave them in sin. No. But this word repentance in the Greek is an amazing word. They didn't have one in Hebrew like this. Metanoeo. It's a compound word that means to perceive afterwards. Those are the two words. Perceive, metanoeo. Afterwards. Perceive afterwards. Perceive. How your perception after something has been told to you, or after something has taken place, you must perceive everything differently now. How do you perceive things after this took place? How do you see things differently now? This is talking about the same thing the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing is actually a renovation, a tearing down of all that is old and a building of the new. To be able to really understand the kingdom, the Holy Spirit has to help you tear down everything you've ever thought. Everything you've ever thought, and rebuild with truth, spiritual truth from God, because it's totally different than anything your natural mind can conceive. So Jesus came to call the weak. He came to call the sick. To what? To metanoeo. It's the sick, it's the broken, it's the lame, it's the blind, it's the failure, it's the one who wasn't obedient and is suffering. Those are the ones Jesus came to say, I want you to perceive everything differently after what I have accomplished. And those are the ones who are willing and ready many times to do so. The righteous and the zealous, they can't perceive anything. They'll never perceive anything differently than he who does these things will live. They can't. It's impossible for Adam to perceive anything different. Very sorry. Forgot to reset that. But man, this is the Holy Ghost. So I'm not, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to stop this devotion. Praise the Lord. Amen. I usually silence that. But the ones doing well will never perceive anything differently than he who does these things will live. They will always look at others and say they're not doing enough. They will, if they see sin, they say that person needs to stop sinning. When they see bad, they say that person's not going to make it to the kingdom. Why? They can't do anything differently. They can't perceive the truth. They can't perceive things differently. After the cross, they still see things the same way Adam saw them before the cross, before Adam was crucified, before we all died, because none of us can produce. So Jesus calls the weak. He calls the broken. Paul didn't say, I'm blessed and I'm righteous because I'm weak. Paul said, God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What does this mean? When we perceive the truth and believe it, because we're broken and because we're weak, we see we can't produce it. And we begin to believe what he accomplished and confess what he accomplished. And we give up. We quit trying to do it. Then we begin to see what he accomplished manifesting. And we stop sinning. We stop doing those things that are not pleasing to the Lord. We stop walking in the natural man. We stop being religious and thinking we're good. We stop doing the things we were doing in the flesh. Why? Because in our weakness, his strength begins to manifest. And it's no longer us doing it. It's no longer us accomplishing it. It's no longer our strength or our ability. But we begin to see what he actually accomplished. So in our weakness and in our brokenness, his strength is made perfect. So don't be afraid if you're being weakened. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be angry at God when things aren't going your way. When you're being broken down. When you're losing your zeal. When you're losing your what you think is faith, but it's really self-confidence. When you're losing that confidence and that, oh my goodness, I thought I was falling away from the faith for years because I was losing my self-confidence. I was losing my boldness. I was losing my zeal. And it was just slowly dissipating. And I thought, what in the world? I'm lost. I can't. And I try to stir it up. And I try to make myself pray. And I try to make myself go after God. And it just like, I'd do it for a little bit and I'd be right back. And I've learned what God was doing. I've learned what he's doing now. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I experience true, what I would call true prayer now. It's when I look to him alone. And I have nothing to offer him. And I listen. And as his spirit reveals the truth of the cross to me, then I pray through that revelation. Same thing with worship. I used to worship him with my strength and my zeal and my effort. And I just lost that. But now, as I get in his presence, I listen and hear. And hear what the Holy Spirit is saying took place at the cross. And I begin to really worship him in spirit and in truth, declaring why I had to die and that I did die. And I thank God that I died and that he's given me the life of Jesus. And I begin to worship this life of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Father, for the life of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me in my weakness and in my brokenness, but you gave me the life of Jesus. One day, we're all going to step out of these bodies. And if we've believed in the life, we'll no longer be weak. We'll no longer be weak. We'll always be dependent, 100%. But we'll no longer be weak. But as long as we are in these earthen vessels, I don't think there's anything more clear in the scriptures than the fact that we will be weak and we will face our own weakness. But in our weakness, his strength will be manifest and made perfect. So as we're going through our battles and as we're going through our difficulties, we pray, Father, let your kingdom be established. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom manifest. Let your will be done in this earthen vessel, just as it's done in heaven. Where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said it's inside of you. Father, let this kingdom come. Let this kingdom manifest, Lord, in our brokenness, in our weakness, in our failure. Oh God, let your victory begin to be exposed and manifested. For in the new covenant, the gospel is not for the rich. The gospel is not for the zealous. The gospel is not for the faithful and the obedient and the ones who've done it. The gospel is for the failure. It's for the sick. It's for the weak. Why? Because the gospel is the good news that God has put you to death. And he has given you a new life to believe in and to lay hold of by hating your old one and by turning away from it, by seeing what it is. Oh, my goodness. The gospel is beautiful and wonderful, not for the old man, but for your spirit, it is a marvelous, marvelous thing. Praise the living God. God bless you today in Jesus' name. I pray you got some meat from this today in the marvelous name of Jesus. Amen.